This is tape number 5 of the book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
How astonished the world will be to discover that it is not and never was the outgrowth of the Church of God founded by Jesus Christ and His apostles. This knowledge will soon burst on an incredulous world as a bombshell. People will be shocked to learn how they have been deceived. When God's time comes, the news bomb will be exploded. What is the Great Tribulation? Now it becomes painfully clear. The Great Tribulation is the sevenfold intensity of corrective punishment which God is now soon going to lay on Britain America. Notice a few brief excerpts from Ezekiel's description of it. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee. And I will scatter a third part, the remainder, into all the winds, slavery, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury, last plagues, to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have accomplished my fury in them. Ezekiel 5, 12 and 13. Further, in all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste. Ezekiel 6, 6. This could never have happened until the hydrogen bomb. Cities laid completely waste, all of them, in all your dwelling places. Drought, famine first. Now let the prophet Joel add more. Joel's prophecy was for the far, far future, verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1. Then he shows a plague of different kinds of locusts, devouring the fruits and food crops, stripping off bark from fruit trees. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Joel 1:7. Continue. Now comes devastating drought. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth, because the harvest of the field is perished. All the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Verses 10 through 12. This is to happen just prior to the terrible plagues of the day of the Lord, verses 14 and 15. Continue the prophecy. The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire, hot sun, hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up. Verses 17 through 20. Next, military invasion and defeat. Next in time order, beginning chapter 2, the alarm of war. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, alarm of war, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Verse 1. Therefore also now, saith the Eternal, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Eternal your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Verses 12 and 13. At last, repentance in tribulation. Once God does add these repeated sevenfold intensity of corrective punishments on our people, when they have had their wealth, prosperity, their land, their birthright, and everything they possessed and set their hearts on taken away from them, at last they will be humbled and will cry out to God for mercy and deliverance. Right now, God's warning message of this terrifying greatest trouble of history is being thundered over the World Tomorrow program into all parts of the world as a witness. Some 2.5 million are reading it in the plain truth. We know only too well that the people as a whole will not heed. We are grateful that God is laying it on the hearts of a few thousand every year to listen, hearken, to use biblical authorized version language, and to take it seriously, to repent and come to God through Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, a few thousand every year, thousands precious beyond estimate, but not the people as a whole, not now. We know full well that the real harvest of our labors in God's work, preparing the way for Christ's coming, is not now, But when everything these peoples have has been taken from them, when they are slaves in foreign lands, when they are cruelly treated, beaten, unmercifully even martyred and put to death, then millions of those who remain alive will cry out to God, will repent, will turn to live God's way. That is when the real harvest from this present work of God will be reaped. Millions then will remember they heard Christ's true message over the world tomorrow, read it in the plain truth. Then they will say, that was the true message sent by God after all. Many will take it lightly now, just as Israelites of old took God's message to them through his prophets. But when these things really happen, when people realize no one else warned them, then they will know just who are the real false prophets today. Then they will know which is God's truth. The pitiful, pitiful tragedy of it. This realization will come too late to save the many from this repeated sevenfold punishment. But for millions, not too late for their salvation, for God's gift of eternal life. Millions finally converted. Notice the prophecies of this very thing. Return for a moment to Jeremiah's prophecy. The 30th chapter from which I quoted ends with these words, "In the latter days ye shall consider it." The prophecy is for our time now. Read right on in chapter 31. "At the same time, saith the Eternal, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Eternal, the people which were left of the sword, those still then alive, found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when he went to find him rest." Marginal rendering. Or, as in the RSV, "When Israel sought for rest, the Eternal appeared to him from afar." Or, as in the Moffat translation, "Those who survive the sword shall find grace in the dungeon," that is, in captivity and in slavery. Continue, "Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way," God's law, "wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn," birthright holder. "Hear the word of the Eternal, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock." Jeremiah 31, verses 4, 9, and 10. Later, Jeremiah was inspired to write, "In those days and in that time, saith the Eternal, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Eternal their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Eternal in a perpetual covenant, the new covenant, that shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep, their shepherds, professing Christian ministers, have caused them to go astray." Jeremiah 50, verses 4 through 6. Later in this chapter, "In those days and in that time, saith the Eternal, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve, leave as a remnant," of verse 20. Hosea summarizes it. This whole matter of Israel's rebellion against right ways, of God's driving them out, divorcing them, withholding the bestowal of the birthright for 2,520 years, and of Israel's final redemption after the three additional sevenfold more intense corrective punishments, is summarized by the prophet Hosea. But Hosea also becomes very concise, direct, and specific in detailing Britain America's national attitude right now. To picture this whole course of infidelity, rejection, withholding of blessing, extreme correction, and final awakening of Israel, God directed the prophet to marry a whore to picture what Israel was to God. She bore him a son. God instructed Hosea to name the son Jezreel, meaning God will disperse. For God said, "I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Hosea 1, verses 4 and 5. The kingdom, the government, did cease at the Assyrian captivity, 721 to 718 B.C. Hosea's harlot wife conceived again and bore a daughter. God instructed that she be named Lo-Ruhamah, meaning no mercy. For, saith God, I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Verse 6. Later this lewd wife had another son. Call his name, saith God, Lo-Ami, meaning not my people. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Verse 9. Yet to find the true riches. Yet, continued the Eternal, the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah, the Jews, and the children of Israel, lost 10 tribes, be gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, spread out far beyond their land, Moffat translation, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Hosea 1, 10 and 11. There, in brief, is a picture of the whole course of God's dealing with Israel. Today, our people say they are not Israel, that is, not God's people. They think that the Jews, and the Jews only, are Israel. But very soon now, they are going to know their identity. Thousands will learn it from this very book you are now reading. The millions will learn it at Christ's coming. In Hosea 2, God says, in regard to our now having possessed the unprecedented wealth of the birthright promise, For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return, and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness, her sin, verses 8 and 9. But finally, when the correction becomes intense enough, our peoples will acknowledge their transgressions, will repent, will seek their God. God's people at last. And it shall be at that day, saith the Eternal, that thou shalt call me Ishi, my husband, and shall call me no more Baali, my Lord. Verse 16. And, concluding the second chapter, I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God. Verse 23. Then begins God's message to our peoples today, especially to the British peoples. Hear the word of the Eternal, ye children of Israel, you people of the British Commonwealth and the United States. For the Eternal hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land of America and Britain mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish. Hosea 4, 1 through 3. To the modern ministers in the churches of Britain and America, God says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Verses 6 and 7. Speaking of the coming manifold intensity of corrective punishment, God says, In their affliction they will seek me early. Hosea 5:15. To Britain today. Speaking of modern Britain, God says, Israel, Britain, indeed is stubborn as a restive heifer. How can the Eternal feed them now? Hosea 4:16, Moffat translation. God feeds his people today with his word, his gospel of the kingdom of God, his warning of what is quickly to come. The British government would not allow any broadcasting facilities within its jurisdiction that might be used by God's servants to proclaim God's message of this hour to the British peoples. But God was determined to get his message to the British. So the first week of 1953, God's message started getting into Britain from Europe, when the World Tomorrow program began going out on the super-powered voice of Radio Luxembourg. When Radio Luxembourg was no longer effective for this message, God raised up broadcasting stations on ships, anchored just outside Britain's jurisdiction. The World Tomorrow was then thundered over all of Britain daily from 7 of these ships. They were not illegal, they violated no law of man. They did proclaim faithfully the law of God. But the British authorities falsely called them pirate ships. They were not pirates, they were not marauders, they did not invade the land and pillage or steal, they harmed no one. But most governments of man would like to control whether people hear or do not hear. They want to control your thinking for you. The British government and the National Church of England would legalize the revolting perversion of homosexuality. They would condone heinous sins, but no door inside the UK is open to broadcasting God's message. But God did get his message to Britain. God said it. God did it. God has said, "Surely the Lord Eternal will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." Amos 3:7. And in the verse just before this, "Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid?" God has said in your Bible that he would get the warning to his people, Ephraim, Britain. He has foretold, "Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke," and Britain is rapidly headed toward that prophesied desolation now. "Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be," Hosea 5:9. Also, God said of Britain and America, "Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned, half-baked. The strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Eternal their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria," Germany. "When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard." From the World Tomorrow broadcast warning, Hosea 7, verses 8 through 12. Yes, God said long ago he would get the warning into the hearing of Britain. Even though he had to do it from outside British jurisdiction, God moved miraculously to get his message thundered to all Britain. Britain has been warned. And the British government has no power whatsoever to prevent the manifold intensity of corrective punishment a loving God is going to cause to strike. God's purpose shall stand. They will realize. Someday, people will wake up to realize this is the work of God. Of British churchianity, God says, "The Ephraimites are wedding to idolatry. Let them alone. A drunken band, a lustful company, in love with shameful worship, not with my glory. When the whirlwind sweeps them off, they shall feel shame for their altars." Hosea 4:17 through 19, Moffat Translation. God says, "I withdraw to my own place, till they feel their iniquity and seek my face, searching for me in their distress, crying, Let us return to the Eternal, for he has torn us, he will heal us, he has wounded, he will bind us up. In a day or two," Authorized Version, "after 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us to live under his care." Hosea 5:15 through 6:2, Moffat Translation. The coming great tribulation probably will last about 2.5 years. The day of the Lord, about 1 year. Then comes the resurrection and second coming of Christ. The entire book of Hosea carries a blistering message and warning to the British people today. You can escape this punishment. God warns us through prophecy that our sins are fast increasing, and now the day of reckoning is here. The foreign sword always has attacked us. In this fearsome, awesome atomic age, World War III will start with nuclear devastation unleashed on London, Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool, New York, Washington, Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, Pittsburgh, without warning. God help our nations to wake up before it's too late. Yes, we are God's chosen people, Israel. Think what that means. Chosen, not for favors while we defy our God, but chosen for service we have failed to perform. We should shout for joy at the discovery of our true identity, and we should be brought to repent and to turn to God and to get back of this crusade by radio and by printed word to warn our people and to call upon God in real heart-rending prayer for divine deliverance. The sevenfold intensity of punishment now soon to come upon the American and British peoples is simply the prophesied Great Tribulation. It will be the most frightfully intense punishment and time of trouble ever suffered by any people. Yet you need not suffer in it. This terrifyingly severe punishment is simply the correction our peoples have made necessary to bring them to the ways of living which caused desired blessings instead of terrible curses. It is correction for the people's good. As God lives, this punishment is soon to strike. This book has given the warning from God and His Word. Will the U.S. and British nations heed? They could yet avert this colossal national tragedy if they would. But if you now reading this, you as an individual, will be corrected voluntarily before God lets this indescribably horrendous chastening strike, if you come to real repentance, realizing how terribly wrong you have been, if you can see yourself as you really are, as a rebellious, wrong, evil person, and if you can surrender to the loving, all-merciful, yet all-powerful God and make it an unconditional surrender, coming to Almighty God through the living Jesus Christ as personal Savior, then no plague shall come near you. Psalm 91, verses 8 through 11. But you shall be accounted worthy to escape all these frightful things and to stand before Christ at His return. Luke 21, verses 35 and 36. Those in the true body of Christ shall be taken to a place of safety until this tribulation be over. Revelation 3, 10 and 11, applying to those faithful in God's work now going to the world. Revelation 12, 14, Isaiah 26, 20. But you must make your own decision, and to neglect doing so is to have made the wrong decision. Most people we know only too well will take this serious warning lightly, put it out of mind, turn to other immediate interests of no importance by comparison. That is why a loving, just, all-wise, all-powerful God is going to take away from them these unimportant counter-interests and apply such intensified correction that they shall finally come to their senses and turn to Him and His way, which will bring them eternal happiness and abundant blessings. But you need not have to suffer this intensified correction, greater than any trouble ever suffered by humans. By God's direction and authority, I have laid the truth before you. To neglect it will be tragic beyond imagination. To heed it will bring blessings, happiness, and glory beyond description. The decision is now yours.
And with that, we complete the reading of the book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Your reader has been Garland Snuffer.